Manuscript Releases, Volume 4, Numbers 210 to 259. MR, Number 240. The Holy Spirit. We are living in the dispensation of the Spirit. We hold in our hands the promise of His Spirit, and ministers may be qualified to give the trumpet a certain sound, to arouse the sleeping people and set them at work for themselves and for others out of the fold. The Holy Spirit is to be presented in every discourse. What wonderful statements Christ has made concerning His representative to the world. This is the theme of encouragement to be kept before the people. In comprehending the office of the Holy Spirit, we shall bring all blessings to ourselves. He will make us complete in Christ. The promised outpouring of God's life-giving Spirit has been and is still the great hope of God's people. It is the hope and glory of Zion. In this time of spiritual declension, God's ministry is to stand in dignity, efficiency, and power. He will impart His Holy Spirit in the plenitude of His reviving, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Nothing but the baptism of the Holy Spirit can bring up the church to its right position and prepare the people of God for the fast approaching conflict. Evil has been accumulating for centuries, and could only be resisted by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Another spirit must be met, for the essence of evil was working in all ways, and the submission of man to this satanic captivity was amazing. A message will soon be given by God's appointment that will swell into a loud cry. We are standing upon the borders of the greatest event in the world's history, and Satan must not have power over the people of God, causing them to sleep on. The papacy will appear in its power. The time of trouble is near, and we are to awake to a realization of this. All human effort combined is weakness without the deep moving of the Spirit of God. Without His help, the deep learning and restless energy of a Paul, the eloquence and talent of an Apollos, will fall infinitely short of convicting and bringing one soul to repentance. While man can do nothing without God, the Lord would do nothing without the human channel. Unless the human agent inclines his heart to do God's will and takes up God's service, the light will shine in vain. A thousandfold more light and conviction would accomplish nothing. God knows He has had sufficient evidence already. The only power that can quicken the heart into activity is the power which will give life to the dead, the Holy Spirit of God. Hang your helpless soul upon your mediator. In and through Him, and Him alone, you can come to God. The Holy Spirit is your hope. We do not want more of God any more urgently than He wants all there is of us to be consecrated to His service. The more we discover our real need, our real poverty, the more we desire the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is because we do not see our need, do not realize our poverty, that we do not pour forth earnest entreaties, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the bestowal of the blessing. The Spirit is constantly showing to the soul glimpses of the things of God. The Spirit's energy is working in the heart and leading the inclinations of the will to Jesus by living faith and complete dependence on divine power to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Spirit taketh the things of God just as fast as the soul resolves and acts in accordance with the light revealed. Of what avail would it have been to us that the only begotten Son of God had humbled Himself, endured the temptations of the wily foe, and wrestled with him during His entire life on earth, and died the just for the unjust, if the Spirit had not been given as a constant, working, regenerating agent to make effectual in our cases what had been wrought out by the world's Redeemer? When the Holy Spirit is allowed to do His work on human hearts, self will be crucified. Subjection to the Word of God means the restoration of one's self. Let Christ work by His Holy Spirit and awaken you as from the dead. Receiving the Spirit of Christ, every one of His followers will fulfill a divinely appointed mission, not merely to be an influence among influences, but to be a special influence for God in every sense of the term. If received and appreciated, the Holy Spirit will make us holy, Christ-like. The influence of the Holy Spirit is the life of Christ in the soul. Those who know the indwelling of the Spirit reveal the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The purification through the Spirit must take place in their minds and hearts. Unless this divine principle is brought into the life and practice, there can be no such fruit born as unfeigned, fervent love for one another. We cannot render to God supreme love and honor if we do not recognize the Holy Spirit. He who yields himself to the control of his Spirit lays hold of Christ with the living grasp of an earnest, definite faith, an intensity of love that nothing can quench. "He shall not speak of himself," he said, "he shall glorify me." As Christ came to glorify the Father by the revelation of his infinite love, so the Spirit came to glorify Christ. James and John thought that for the asking, they could have the highest place in the kingdom of God. They did not realize that before they could share Christ's glory, they must wear his yoke. The reason why the Holy Spirit does not work among us is the unbelief in God and the lack of confidence in one another. This was the work of the power of darkness to lead us to suspect our brethren and stand apart as criticizers. As a people, we need to seek most earnestly for the energizing power of the Holy Spirit. If we obtain the victory, we must be earnest ourselves and plead with God for his Holy Spirit. We must talk and pray in faith that we may have the precious anointment of the Holy Spirit. To those who in faith claimed this promise, it was speedily fulfilled. As the disciples made humble supplication to God, their differences were swept away. They became of one mind. Then the way was prepared for the Holy Spirit to enter the cleansed, consecrated soul temples. Every heart was filled with the Spirit. We are too easily satisfied with limited, special, far-between blessings. We are to lay hold of God by faith and labor to bring souls to Christ. We are too dull in our doctrinal discourses upon the truth as it is in Jesus. Come in consecration to holier ground, and still holier. Let the truth take hold of the spiritual part of our own nature, and then the current of divine power will be communicated to those whom we address. The Holy Spirit indites all genuine prayer. I have learned to know that in all my intercessions, the Spirit intercedes for me and for all saints whose intercessions are according to the will of God. We shall pray in conformity to his revealed will, and in submission to his will which we know not. Jesus is waiting to breathe upon all his disciples and give them the inspiration of his sanctifying Spirit and transfuse the vital influence from himself to his people. Their will must be submitted to his will. They must act with his Spirit, that it may be no more they that live, but Christ that liveth in them. Jesus is seeking to impress upon them the thought that in giving his Holy Spirit, he is giving to them the glory which the Father hath given him. The Lord Jesus has placed himself under obligation never to disappoint a true seeker for the Holy Spirit's guidance. Those who beg at midnight for loaves to feed the hungry souls will be successful. The law of God is that as we receive, we are to impart. In the name of the Lord, I entreat you, ask and receive the Holy Spirit. Press to the side of Christ. But this Spirit can only be received by those who are consecrated, who will deny self, lifting the cross and following the Lord. Pray, oh, pray most earnestly. Put thy Spirit, Lord, thy Holy Spirit within my heart, that I may be sincere in keeping my baptismal vow. Seasons of prayer should be held for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Could there be a convocation of all the churches on earth, the object of their united cry should be for the Holy Spirit. When we have that, Christ our sufficiency is ever present. We shall have every want supplied. We shall have the mind of Christ. God will not do for man that which he requires man shall do for himself through his own earnest, willing cooperation. He cannot of himself move one step toward Christ without the Spirit of God draws him. And this drawing is ever, and will continue until man grieves the Holy Ghost by his persistent refusal. Time and time again, the Lord has longed to communicate His Spirit in rich measure, but there was no place for Him to rest. He was not recognized or valued. The blindness of mind, the hardness of hearts, interpreted Him as something of which they should be afraid. Some hidden evil lurks in the heart to hinder the manifestation of the power of God, and His Spirit cannot descend. Before giving us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father will try us to see if we can live without dishonoring Him. Do not think that you can have great spiritual blessings without complying with the conditions God Himself has laid down. When God's people will believe, when they will turn their attention to that which is true and living and real, the Holy Spirit, in strong heavenly currents, will be poured upon the church. Arouse from your death-like slumbers. Come into right connection with Him by yielding to the creating power of the Holy Spirit. Then will be seen in the church the unity that is of value in God's sight. Fields of labor were opened to be worked, and all found wherever they went in Christ's name. His representative in the Holy Spirit opened the hearts and doors for the disciples. All were of one mind, and all felt that their resources must be taxed to the uttermost of their ability. A work was before them to preach Christ and Him crucified through the whole world. The religion of Christ means much more than forgiveness of sins. It means taking away ours and filling the vacuum with the Holy Spirit. It means divine illumination, rejoicing in God. His Spirit will be communicated to human instrumentalities, giving them light before which moral darkness must flee away. God's message to each of us is, "My Son, give me thine heart." Then open the heart to the divine Spirit, and you will appreciate the value of the human soul. The power of the Holy Spirit is drawing to God all who will be drawn. He is convincing men that the commandments of God are a life and death question with them. Unless we can feel brotherly love for those around us, the Holy Spirit cannot work upon our hearts and minds. The soul who yields his heart to be worked by the Holy Spirit will be a living channel of light in the inculcation of the precepts and truth of the Word of God, winning others to obedience of the commandments of God. The question is sometimes asked, why, if we have the truth, do we not see a greater manifestation of the Spirit of God? God cannot reveal Himself till those who profess to be Christians are doers of His Word in their private lives, till there is oneness with Christ, a sanctification of body, soul, and spirit. Then they will be fit temples for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I would that we had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this we must have before we can reveal perfection of life and character. I would that each member of the church would open the heart to Jesus, saying, "Come, heavenly guest, abide with me." Those who are imbued with His Spirit will have an intense love for everyone for whom He has died, and will work earnestly to bring into the heavenly garner a harvest of souls. Filled with His Spirit, men and women will be animated with the same desire to save sinners that animated Christ in His life work as a missionary sent of God. Released July 14, 1970.